Welcome to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset with me, Johnny Pardo. Welcome back to the Self-Esteem and Confidence Mindset podcast with me, Johnny Pardo. Today, I have a special guest on the episode with me. So Simone and I are going to be talking about self-confidence and building a stronger relationship with yourself. So welcome to the show, Simone.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Johnny.
It's great you can be here, and I know we can have an amazing conversation, and there's so much insight you can give our listeners today. So appreciate you for being here. So I'm going to give a quick introduction to Simone, and then we're going to go into the conversation. So Simone is a self-made multi-millionaire, renowned speaker and founder of Joy of Business. She is a best-selling author and has written Joy of Business and Getting Out of Debt Joyfully, something I've recently purchased and I'm looking forward to listening to. And that's been translated into multiple languages. So Simone is also seeing the joy of possibility and future and recognizes the prospect of possibility in every choice. So Simone, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what got you into this area?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say from a really young age, I knew I was different. You know, everybody was talking about going to college and getting married and having kids, etc. And there was two things that I really wanted to do. Is one is see the world, like desperately wanted to see the world, the entirety of the world. And also, I always spoke about owning my own business. And people used to say to me, what sort of business do you want? And I was like, I don't know yet. I just know that I can create a business that is so malleable that I can get things out there into the world that create what I know is possible. Look, personally, I think that, you know, at a really young age, I would look around and think, why are people choosing this trauma and drama and the very small-minded sort of reality? And I was like, this earth is amazing. We are amazing. What if we started to be really vulnerable with each other and create a different life here on the planet? It is sort of where I was coming from. So, you know, I traveled all over the world for 3 years. I mean, I was just telling you, I lived in London for a while, did the Australian backpacker thing there, and met so many amazing people and saw so many amazing things and learned so much from different people and cultures, etc. And then came back home and was like, okay, everyone sort of patted me on the back and said, well, you've got that out of your system now. You know, you can settle, you know, settle at home and get a safe job. And I was like, no, it's like, this is just the beginning. And I knew that there was something different. I really did. I knew that there was something else available, that there had to be more than this. So, you know, I created different businesses and did different things. And then when I met Gary Douglas, who's the founder of Access Consciousness, I went and saw him speak. And I remember sitting there just going, oh my goodness, this is exactly what I've been asking for my entire life. And the way he was talking about how to be in the world, how to live, how to choose, how to be you, you know, I was like, that's what I would like to know more about. So, you know, of course, me being me, I'm like, if I like something, I'm sort of, you know, head towards it. And I found myself in Houston, Texas within 6 months doing a facilitator training course. And that was like 21 years ago. So yeah, I'm here and I'm one of the main facilitators of Access Consciousness, and my life just gets better and better and greater each day. And I know that sounds cheesy, but it's true.
No, it's great to hear. And what I was kind of picking up there is, and I'm always keen to learn from, you know, people who feeling really great about life and what we can perhaps teach others. And what I kind of understood from you there was that ability to sort of, or not necessarily ability, because we've all got the ability, but you were asking those kind of questions. Is there something more, right, out there a little bit more? And then kind of seeing,
yeah, look, and I mean, it's such a synopsis and a, you know, a short summary, because I've been through, you know, some really, I don't know, dodgy moments. It's like, I mean, you said that you just purchased one of my books, Getting Out of Debt Joyfully. I created myself to be a financial mess, like I really did. And then realized what I was choosing, and then, you know, changed that, like made this pivoting moment and changed that and started creating my financial life and my financial reality. I did, like, early on in my years, it's like I took a lot of drugs because I knew, like I said, I knew that there was something different. So for me, drugs were the closest thing that I could go, okay, this is different. And you know, really indulged in that. And I definitely think I was heading down a road of destruction. So I'm here now and it's all great and life is getting better and I'm so happy, et cetera. But there has been some crap that I've been through. But all that crap that I've been through has made me who I am today and made me like not judgmental of myself and my choices. My point of view is I feel like I've been there, done that. I've had a really colorful life. I have no place to judge anyone. And for me, it's like, where are you at in your life right now? It's you can change. You can choose something different. And it's not about judging what you've done. It's not about, you can't change those choices, but what you can do is choose something different today. And for me, I like being available through, whether it's a book, seminars, et cetera, like that. It's like being available for people to know that there is a different choice out there. Because for me, I didn't find that. Like I said, I took drugs and then I met Gary Douglas. And I remember him saying to me one day, okay, so we're in class and he said, it's, you know, taking drugs and choosing consciousness is like sitting on the edge of a fence. One day you're being impaled. And he never told me not to take them. He was like, it's a choice. You choose. But after being in these classes with Access, I was like, this is what I've been looking for. Like that energy, that space, that awareness of myself, the communion, like the relationship you can have with people, with the earth, etc. That's what I was looking for. And I wasn't finding it earlier on. So, you know, I had a really good time, I'm saying, but it's like, I'm grateful that I'm here now and the choices that I've made to get me here.
Yeah. And thanks for sharing. Obviously, we sometimes don't realize the ups and downs other people go through. So obviously you went through the ups and downs and you very openly share obviously some of the financial struggles you've been through in that book as well. That would definitely be an interesting read as well. I'm sure I'm going to get a ton of value out of it.
But Johnny, I really think that that's what we can be for each other. Mm. Like if we try and pretend that we're something that we're not, it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do anyone else any good. And it's like, stuff happens. And yeah, I mean, all my books have some really vulnerable stories in them because I'm like, well, I'm not ashamed of anything. And why would I not share that if that is actually going to contribute to somebody else choosing something different as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So would you say when you're talking about some of the challenges, some of the more challenging times, and actually there was this point you're like, you found something through Gary Douglas, obviously that moment. Would you say when you started focusing on things you wanted rather than what you didn't want, that's when things shifted?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's such a, you know, I always say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Mm-hmm. And everything that you choose. And for me, there were some things that I realized that I really had to look at myself, like know who I am. What is it that I would like to choose? And, you know, there's an example that I give is, you know, I used to smoke cigarettes. And when I chose to give up smoking cigarettes, I told all my friends, I was like, I'm doing this. And I thought that I was going to get this like really great support. And what I realized really quickly was most people were like, you're not going to be able to do that. Like, you know, I'm sure you'll be smoking within a week. And I was like, wow. And I didn't give up. And then when I eventually did, I didn't tell anyone and I just stopped smoking. And it was 2 weeks before anyone actually noticed. And I realized at that moment, I mean, that's smoking cigarettes, you know, but I realized at that moment when I make a choice and I make a choice in my life that is for me, it's not about looking outside of me for a reference point or looking outside of me for someone else to be the source of the creation of my life. And I realized I'm the source of the creation of my life. If I have no money in my bank account, that's because I chose that. If I have money in my bank account, that's because I chose that. You know, if I wake up happy, I chose it. If I wake up not happy, I chose it. So to me, one of your greatest potencies is your choice. You have choice. So as I started to choose different things, I noticed that, you know, I want to say like that stuckness and that funkiness that you have in your world started to break away. And it was like, oh, I mean, just today I was talking, I'm actually here with Gary Douglas at Costa Rica and Elogar, this resort that we're building. And I said to him, there was something that I was sort of stuck with. And I went, hey, I'd really like to change this, because every time I change a limitation that I've created or a judgment that I'm choosing, I get happier, I get freer. Like every time I give up the rightness of my point of view, I have more freedom for me. And it's like I said, it's a marathon, not a sprint, and it keeps on going. So I think it's really important to have a look at what actually works for you. Like, what is it that you would like, not what others would like?
Asking, yeah, what do I want? Because we're conditioned quite a lot these days with things left, right, and center that we can get ideas into ourselves. Right.
Oh,
with social media. Yeah. Oh, so and so is doing well in this profession. You know, we'll see like our Tony Robbins and like, I want to be a life coach or whatever. See this multi-millionaire. I want to be a multi-millionaire or whatever. So I like what you're saying about going inside of ourselves a bit more. So how can we trust our intuition a bit more?
Well, I mean, it's like a muscle, you know, it's like you really have to use that muscle. And I mean, there's a couple of tools that I have. One is called the five elements of intimacy. And I really get that you need to have these five elements of intimacy with yourself, which is allowance, gratitude, trust, vulnerability, and honor. And when you can have those five elements of intimacy with you, then you can start to expand your life, expand your business, relationships, whatever it is. Then you can actually have that with other people. So I really, like, for ages, what I did was on a post-it note on my mirror in my bathroom. So every night and every morning I'm brushing my teeth, and I would destroy and uncreate any of the judgments that I had of me in any way that I wasn't willing to be grateful for myself, be an allowance of myself, be honoring of myself, being vulnerable, you know, et cetera. And then go to bed going, okay, what if tomorrow was a greater day than yesterday? And being in question, I think question is imperative to create something different and create something greater. And it really is like you, because you know, you are the only person that really knows, you know? I mean, I call it like the umbrella theory as well. You know, when you go to walk out the door and you see your umbrella and you think, or your brolly, as you would say in the UK, and you think, you know, I'll grab that, I should take that. And then you go, nah, it's not raining. And then 2 hours later, you're out and it's raining. You knew. And you'll take those little things, like someone will call and you'll go, oh, I knew you were going to call. So you will acknowledge yourself for these really small things. But what if you knew everything? What if you had the capacity to know everything, to be everything, to receive everything? Like, most of us don't think we're allowed to receive. What if you were? What if you started to receive more? Like, would your life get easier? So it is like a muscle. And you have to work at it like every day. It's like, what do I know about this? I mean, you can even practice with, pick a topic that you think you don't know anything about, and then ask, okay, so truth, what do I know about this? And you'll find you start to unlock these capacities you have with way more awareness. Like, you are a billion times more aware than most people are willing to acknowledge. They'll like give that away. They'll be like, oh no, such and such knows more than me. Or, you know, I've got to, you know, you grow up, you know, your parents are the ones who are supposed to know everything. And then, you know, colleagues or your boss or blah, 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 whoever it is, your friends. And it's like, you give away your awareness. You are so more potent than what you've been willing to acknowledge. And if you would trust your awareness, it's like, what else could show up? So, but it's like a muscle. You got to work at it every day.
Yeah, definitely. And like the example you gave of the umbrella or brolly, as we call it. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's raining. And like, just kind of like listening. But again, it's practice every single day. And we practice the wrong things in life sometimes. But practicing intuition and kind of listening to yourself is going to be a key one. So linked to that, if there was someone out there, perhaps we all get stuck in life, right? What do we want to do? Where do we want to go? I've definitely been there, and I'm sure you've been there as well at times, and you've kind of shared it. There was moments until you discovered Gary Douglas, of course. But for someone really trying to perhaps find what they want to do in life and what they enjoy, obviously trusting your intuition is a good one, but would there be any other points that you would suggest to someone who's a bit stuck?
Yeah, look, one of the tools I would give out is to say, look, take some space with yourself, nobody else, just for you, just for fun, don't tell anyone, and write down 20 things that you actually enjoy doing. And it could be anything. Like, you could be like, I like baking cakes, you know, I like, you know, taking my dog for a walk. Like, it doesn't have to be something that you've decided you can make money from, okay? And it's like, so if you write all those things down and then have a look at this list, like have a little book if you must, or your phone, it's like whatever, old school pen and paper. and have a look at it and say, and ask some questions, like, and open it up every day. Or at the end of the week or something like that, and open it up and say, hey, you know, is there anything here that I could take some action on? Because you've got to take some action, that I could take some action on that would give me more freedom, that would give me more joy, that would create more money, etc. Like, a friend of mine did this years ago, and she, you know, absolutely loved her dog, always taking her dog to the beach, blah, blah, blah. And that was one of the things she loved, was dogs. She ended up creating, in Santa Barbara, California, ended up creating this huge dog walking business that became really successful. She sold it. She now works with some other different things with animals, etc. But she created that from taking that space with herself in that moment to say, what is it that I love doing? She was like, I love walking dogs on the beach, you know, and someone might go, well, that's a bit lame. And it's like, but she created this massive business. So it's like, what is it that you love? Because in truth, it's like, you know, money follows joy. Joy doesn't follow money. And most people wake up in the morning and go, well, there's two types of people, I would say. There's people who wake up and say, you know, oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. You know, oh, if I only had money, if I only had this, et cetera. And it's not true. It's like, you can wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm demanding of myself and requesting of the universe that this is going to show up. I'm going to take some action towards this, and not making it significant or meaningful that it has to show up exactly the way you've decided it should. Allow the universe to contribute to you and see what else can show up. But you got to be in question and take some action. What action can I take today that would allow this, you know, to show up?
Yeah, the fact you've emphasized action as well. I think of a quote I once heard from someone, I can't remember what it was, but it resonated so well, was clarity comes from movement sometimes when you're moving, rather than just thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking.
Yeah. No, we think that thinking is going to get us somewhere, but it doesn't. I mean, if you think yourself going to the gym, does your body work out? No, it's like analogy. You think about cooking, it's like the food's not there. Exactly. So you've got to take some action. And here's the thing too. Don't look at it and go, oh, I've got to make the right choice. No, you don't. It's like, I've made more bad choices than most people have made choices, but I chose. And then you go, oh, that was an interesting choice. You're like, all right, guess what? I can choose again. And you do choose again. Like, you don't have to get it right. Life is not about getting it right. Life is about living and having this adventure. What is it you would like to show up? Just choose. Because every single time you choose, you gain awareness. I mean, if I look at, you know, or say all the businesses that I've been involved in, and I've been involved in some businesses that have made really good money, they've been successful. I've been involved in other businesses that have failed dismally, or have had to shut the company down, etc. Neither of them are right or wrong. Neither of them were better than the other. One, yes, produced revenue, and the other did not, or I lost money, etc. But I've gained awareness. And what if awareness is one of the greatest gifts that you can have from every single choice that you make? I mean, look at all your relationships. It's like, you know, the relationships that you've had, and then, you know, perhaps you've broken up, and at the time you might be devastated, but did you gain awareness? Do you have more of you? And what if every choice you made, you have more of you, and every choice you make, you look and say, hey, what future is this going to create if I choose this? And choose it, see what shows up. Just because you choose it doesn't mean you have to stick to it. You're actually allowed to change your mind.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something I heard. And it's something I used to really struggle with myself. It's like, I've got to be certain this is what I want to do. I've got to be certain. There is no certainty, right? Yeah. It's just
no, there's not. One of the biggest lies we've been told. Yeah.
It's just there's a certainty you can have in yourself to show up for you, but there's no certainty in anything. So yeah, I'm glad you've said that as well. So one thing you talk about, I know you talk about building that relationship with yourself first, and then it expands, and therefore you can have better relationships with other people by working on yourself or have the right people into your life, right? So how do you prioritize your needs without being selfish? Because lots of us, there's a misconception, this perceived idea that if we work on ourselves, we're caring on ourselves too much, it's selfish. So how would you say we go about looking after our needs without being selfish?
Yeah, look, I think that's one of the biggest lies we've ever been told. And the thing I look at is, what if everything you've ever been told about everything you found out was a lie? Like, what would you choose? Because when you actually choose for you, you show us that they can choose for them. And I'll give you a really good example. It's like my last relationship, long-term relationship, he had a son, so I had a stepson. So he lived with us full time. So he lived with us from 5 till 13 for 8 years. And it was interesting because all of a sudden I had no kids, and all of a sudden I had a 5-year-old, and I was like, whoa, you know. And I went through this thing of going, well, I'd like to do this. And then you're like, I have a 5-year-old, I have a 6-year-old, I have a 7-year-old, however old he is. And one of the things I started to look at was when I chose for me and I was like, hey, Nash, this is what's happening, you know, blah, blah, blah. It showed him and empowered him that he could choose for him. And I would always ask him, what is it that you would like to choose here? Like, what is it that you would like to do? So, because I think most people do this like sheeple thing, you know, like people becoming sheep and following somebody else rather than, I say, when we're choosing for us and we're choosing from the kingdom of we, it includes everything. Because I know when I choose for me, it includes everything, it's not against. And I think that's one of the biggest lies we've been told is when you choose for you, you're choosing against others. That's not true. That's like a petulant teenager going, I'm choosing this, you know, hands on hips and being all aggressive about it. You know, it's not that. It's like, hey, this is what works for me. And it opens up, it literally starts to open up these doors of possibilities for you and for others. When you choose.
Yeah, love that, what you're saying about that and your experience with it as well. So one thing I want to kind of talk about a little bit, and it's touching on your book, obviously, about when you know, getting out of debt joyfully. Lots of us, and perhaps we're not in debt, perhaps we're in this position where we're neutral, but we'd like to be, you know, have a lot more money, and we think that's going to give us, you know, a lot more freedom and choices and things like that. And we're always following that point of I'll be happy when kind of point. How would you advise someone to start enjoying the moment a little bit more?
Put a post-it note again on your mirror or somewhere where you wake up and write down happiness is just a choice. Because you get to choose happiness, okay? It really, honestly, and stop listening to the loudness of the fear and the anxiety and the judgments in the world and choose something different. Because honestly, now more than ever, Johnny, we've got to choose a different future. Like, we've had some shit go down in the last couple of years, and it's like, you know, what are we going to choose? What future are we going to create by our choices? Or are we just going to follow in line with everybody else? And it's like, no, it's like, have a look at it and go, okay, I'm going to make the demand of myself that I wake up happy every day. If you would like to have money in your life, ask for it. Like, most people would like more money, but they think it's bad to ask for it, or they think it's greedy to ask for it. One of the things I always talk about is, like, if you look at all the money in the world, like if you look at it, look at money, and if you put your attention on it, all the different currencies, the flow of it, etc., there is not a lack of money. There is people choosing lack of money. And it's like, what are you trying to prove by choosing a lack of money? Like, one of the things that I mentioned in my book, Getting Debt Joyfully, is that I made the demand that I was going to change this because I realized I wasn't looking at it. I was trying to shove it under the carpet, etc. And so I started using some of the Access Consciousness tools, and it started to change my financial reality. So I'm sitting in my office, And, you know, it was over time. And I'm sitting in my office and one day I have, you know, all my bills and they're paid and I'm looking at my accounts and I'm doing everything. And I was on my own and I realized I'm no longer in debt. I'd paid everything off and I had money. And it wasn't a great deal of money, but I had money. And I remember sitting there going, huh, this is it. And I was like, this is a little boring. Like, you know, where's the marching bands or someone coming in saying, well done, Simone, you did it. Like, and I realized that I was bored and just took note of that. And within 2 weeks, I was back in debt. So luckily I was smart enough to sort of start asking myself questions. And I was like, wow, what do I love about being in debt? Now that's a question that most people hate because they go, I don't love it. And it's like, well, if you're creating it, there's something about it that you do. And I realized I was comfortable with that. I knew it. I knew what it was like to be in debt. I knew what it was like to just pay the bills on time, you know, that whole energy. And I didn't know what it was like to actually have money and have a huge amount of money. So it was really uncomfortable to have money in the bank account and not spend it on something. Most people, including myself, it's like I'd get money and I'd go, where's it got to go? What bill? Who do I have to give it to? You know, and it's like a hot potato. People are trying to get rid of it as quickly as it came in. So again, I made the demand of myself and went, okay, I'm going to find out what it's like to actually have money and not have to spend it, to just have it. And my God, it was uncomfortable. And you know, I've created a lot of wealth since then. I have a really great stock portfolio. I have real estate investment. I've invested in other things, etc. And I have money. And I realized last year that I had sort of had this complacency about it again, like that energy of like, well, I have enough. And it's like, it's not like I need more money. But what if I create more money and I receive more money, then to me also access consciousness and the business that I'm in is expanding and the world is becoming more conscious and I get to create more things like this property we're on in Costa Rica, you know, and we get to have more, we get to receive more. So it's so funny the significance we put on money and how meaningful we make it. And I was definitely using no money as the source of creation rather than acknowledging I'm the source of creation. Like money or it's not the source of creation. I am. So what am I going to choose? So it's, yeah, there's a lot of stories in that book that I tell, but that was one of them when I realized I created myself back in debt because it was comfortable.
And yeah, very much look forward to reading it. It sounds like there's going to be very many exciting stories in that book that it's definitely going to be useful messages and things to apply. So yeah, exciting stuff. So what you're kind of saying, it's choice, coming back to choice. And that is obviously that's a key thing for all of us, that we can choose to be happy now. It doesn't have to be this moment in the future. You know, you can see it in instances in the world as well, like when there's someone perhaps not with such a well-off advantaged lifestyle, perhaps in certain countries, who's just grateful for the smallest of things. They've chosen to be happy. And then we've got miserable millionaires out there, don't we, as well? We've kind of got this this lifestyle. So yeah, like the empowerment you're putting back on actually choosing happiness, as well as as well as money, actually you can choose to have more of it as well.
Yeah, well, it's funny, I've got this when I lived in London like many years ago, and I was poor, like I had no money, right? I was but I was a backpacker and I was having lots of fun, etc. And I lived in a house in London, a 3-bedroom house with 1 bathroom with 21 people. Like I did the backpacker thing, you know. And what I used to do to give myself some space was, and like I said, I didn't have much money, I'd buy a ticket and I'd get on one of the big double, you know, decker red buses and sit on there and just, I used to write a lot and I would just go across London just to give myself some space and not be in this house with all these people, you know. And I remember one day, and this is how I started one of my first companies, businesses called Good Vibes For You, is I was looking out the window, and because you go through all the different areas, you know, we went through like, you know, the Jewish area, Pakistani area, it's like the wealthy area, poor area, like all these. And I remember looking out the window thinking, no one seemed happy. It's like, it didn't matter how much money they had or what religion they were or what the color of their skin was. There wasn't like, I couldn't see the happiness. So that's when I started writing on the bus. All these ideas I had of creating, it was creating merchandise, like creating t-shirts, etc., that had sayings on them, that I was like, well, hopefully these will inspire people to know that there's a different choice. And it was a really pivotal moment for me in recognizing that, you know, most people would choose a religion to make them happy or choose, you know, whatever. And it's like, it wasn't. And I realized, wow, this is really just a choice. And what inspiration could I be to the world for them to get that it's just a choice?
Yeah, and interesting observations from looking at different parts of London. And yeah, I can imagine London being the prices it is in a challenging time when you're backpacking. With money, it's not going to be the easiest.
Oh God, yeah. I remember walking past restaurants and just like staring at them going, oh, I'd so love to eat in a restaurant, but there's no way I could, you know. I could cook a billion meals with 2 minute noodles. Like I was that backpacker.
Oh, good old noodles to the rescue, love it. Love it, that's awesome. So one thing I want to ask you about, which I like to ask many people about, is investing in yourself, and not necessarily, mm-hmm. we're not talking necessarily about your real estate or your stocks, talking about investing in yourself. What would you say about the power of investing in you and how perhaps that's impacted your life?
Look, for me, it's about giving myself the space and really looking at what it is that I would like. And again, it's like, because I work with people all over the world. So when I'm based in Australia, you wake up and Europe is still awake and America is awake. So there's this energy that you're picking up on where people are like, are you awake? Are you awake? Are you awake? You know, because you wake up and you're like, oh, you know. But I really made this demand of not creating my day based on, you know, all the platforms, your Skype, your WhatsApp, your Telegram, your emails, your all of that, you know. It was like, okay, I require to give my body, actually, like give my body that space and that nurturing, and then ask, where is my energy required today? Because there's so many different projects and businesses that I'm involved in. So it's a much calmer energy to function from than a frenzy. And I think you can get caught up in that frenzy and become really anxious about everything and think about everything, like we were saying. You know, and go to the judgment if you're right or you're wrong, rather than that relaxation that we can be in every moment. And definitely one thing I would try and do is at least 1 hour a day, one day a week, do something that nurtures me. Because if you're not in the computation, it's like, what are you doing it for? You need to be in the computation of your life.
1 hour a day and one day a week. Love that.
Yeah, do something that nurtures you. And not like have a look at what does nurture you. Like most people go to, oh, it's getting a massage or it's having a bath or it's, you know, a meditation or something like that. But it's like, it might not be. It's like one of the things that I found out in the last couple of years was what's really nurturing and relaxing for me is cooking. Because I was traveling for like 17 years, 10 months of the year. And then, you know, COVID hit and all of a sudden I'm at home and I went, oh. And then they did shut down and I was like, okay, I'm good at steak and salad and there's only so much steak and salad I want to eat. So I started like teaching myself and ringing all my friends that were great, you know, cooks and going, how did you cook that duck thing? How did you cook this? And I started educating myself and I realized now, like for me, it's like having some great music on, pouring myself a glass of wine and cooking a great meal is really nurturing. So what is nurturing for you? And that may change, you know, it might be, I don't know, stretching for an hour or moving your body, or it could be having a nap, but don't define it. Keep in question of what is nurturing for you and your body today and choose that 1 hour a day, one day a week.
Finding that time for you. And I like the way you say it's specific to you as well.
Yeah.
Again, we can get into our heads and thinking what we should be doing or copying what other people are doing. So make it relevant to you, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously you're a very, very busy woman, lots of businesses. There's lots of busy people, you know, out there. But I believe there's always time for the most important things when it's about priorities in your life. So I'm glad you brought up that about priorities as well and finding that time for yourself to invest that time into yourself. So thanks.
I was actually thinking today, I need to find another word than busy, because I find I say that a lot and I go, I'm really busy. And then I was like, it has this energy to it that where you're not present, and it's not true. So today I was like, I need to find another word. It's like, my day has been really full or something. I don't know. And it was like, because otherwise you just get in this, like, you know, people do this busyness, like, oh, I'm so busy, I've been so busy. And there's this energy that goes with it that I was like, it's, I love everything that I'm doing and what I'm choosing. So yeah, I've got to come up with something different.
Oh, look forward to maybe hearing what you come up with.
Yeah, yes.
Feel the same as well. Awesome. So Simone, been such amazing value from you today and all the insights. I've been taking lots and lots of notes. My pad's full. Busy. It's a busy pad, but we're gonna have to find up another
pad.
Word for that. We have to find another word
for
that.
Full pad. Yes.
A full pad, yeah, definitely. So before we kind of round off today's chat, which I thoroughly enjoyed, are there any final points that you perhaps would share, or point that you might share?
I would say, what if you started choosing relaxation and find out again, like, what that is for you, like, what is relaxation for you, and come out of judgment of yourself, because judgment is never, ever going to create something greater, ever. You stop judging you and others, it's like, what could we create here on the planet?
Very true. Yeah. The judgment, that reminds me of that judgment detox program I've got to do, that I've got from Gabby Bernstein. Awesome. So yeah, some great final words there. And thank you for everything you shared today. Where can people find you if they want to find out a little bit more about your work and yourself?
Well, you can Google my name, because so far I think I'm the only Simone Milicis in the world. Cool. And so it's Simone, SimoneMilasas. That's my website. That's my Instagram handle, Facebook, everything. And you can also go to accessconsciousness.com, and you can find the books that I've written. There's one, Joy of Business, Getting Out of Debt Joyfully. And then the third one was Relationship, Are You Sure You Want One? They're all on all the normal, you know, book places as well. So, and on Audible.
Brilliant. Fantastic. Yeah. So we'll be sure to link that in the description of this episode as well, so people can find more of your wonderful work. So once again, a massive thank you for coming on today and sharing everything with us, Simone.
Thank you so much, Johnny. Thank you for having me on here. It's been a pleasure.
Of course. So that concludes our episode for today. But remember, work on your self-confidence every single day.